Worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are so glad that you have joined us in person and online for this very special Advent 3/Christmas worship. Please stand as you are able for our opening hymns. You know, I'll get it by next week, but please be seated. We will now have the Olt family light the Advent candle. Annalie, I'm sorry.
When God's people were surrounded by hardship, suffering, and grief, Isaiah proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit."
We come today as people who are also surrounded by suffering and grief, and yet the Spirit hovers among us, tending and anointing, inspiring freedom where there is captivity, declaring blessing in places the world has cursed, and igniting fierce joy where mourning and heartache prevail.
We wait as people who experience hardship and pain, yet are called to witness the persistent joy that sustains our life as God's people. We light these candles as a sign of our shocking hope, just peace, and fierce joy. May our lives shine with the fierce, tenacious joy of the light who lives in our hearts as we wait and work for the coming of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. A prophetic reading from Isaiah 9, 2, 6, and 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore.
Any young people who want to join us here on stage for a few children's moments by all the bears? Hi, Bonnie, come on up. All right. So today is the third Sunday in Advent. And it's kind of funny because next Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and it's also what? December 24th. What's December 24th? Anyone know? Christmas Eve. Yay! And your mom's birthday. That's amazing. Yay!
And it's also somebody else's birthday on Christmas, December 25th. Whose birthday is that?
Anybody know?
Jesus.
Jesus, there we go. All right, so we do a lot of preparing in Advent. And I bet you all have done some preparing at home. What have you done to get ready for Christmas? Lila Bell, what have you done to get ready for Christmas?
Put our Christmas tree up.
We've definitely put up decorations, and then my grandpa makes homemade eggnog, which is always something to make, to look forward to.
Well, and one of the things that we did to get ready for Christmas last week, what did we have? What did we do last Sunday? Anybody remember? I know it's a long time ago. What happened, Lila Bell? We did the Christmas pageant. Yes, that's a way we prepare for Christmas. We always do that before Christmas. So one thing that we also do is prepare our hearts. So one thing Annalie and I have been doing, we made in the nursery. Do you all remember these, the little Advent calendars we made? Maddie, can you pick one out of this bag and read what it says on the back?
Well, open it up. I chose number 25, so apparently it's Christmas. It says to watch a Christmas movie.
So one of the things that we've done to prepare is we've done as a family, these are activities. So it's not necessarily gift giving, it's things that we do as a family. Whether it's one was make snowflakes, so we made paper snowflakes. We watched a Christmas movie as a family. So these are things that we do to prepare our hearts to get ready for the birth of Jesus and to celebrate. And one thing that we're going to do in Children's Church today is we're going to do our own reenactment of the Christmas story. So we all get to be actors. Who likes to be on stage? Yep, I knew it. So we're going to get the chance to do that all together. Well, I am very excited, and next week I'm excited to see all of you on December 24th. So let's bow our heads in a short prayer before we go off to Children's Church. Dearest Lord, thank you so much for this season of Advent where we can hope, we can pray, and we can prepare for the celebration of the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And all God's children said, amen. We will be in the chapel today doing our own nativity story. So anyone who wants to join us, that's where we will be.
Thank you to our wonderful Bellebration ringers, and peace be with you. Please rise and greet one another in the sign of Christ's peace in a way that you're comfortable with. We're so glad that you're here with us today. I invite you now all to find your seats, to take a deep breath and settle yourself in the midst of this holiday storm all around us, this wonderful flurry of beautiful activity of celebration and worship. We take a moment to pause and connect with our God in deep conversation during a time of prayer, welcomed there by our beautiful choir. God, we thank you this morning for the courage of women, for Elizabeth, who believed when her husband could not, and brought forth John, rabble-rouser and teacher, cousin and mentor. We give thanks for Mary and her vulnerability and youth, who said yes when her partner wanted to leave. She chose the path of parenthood and brought him along. Mary, who knew that she would not only need to birth and shelter the Son of God, but raise him well and teach him both of the brokenness and the possibility of the world, who decided to raise a child who disrupts systems and showed him firsthand a love so powerful that he would be able to use it to change the world. God, be with parents everywhere as you were with them, the young and the old, the alone and the unaccompanied. Be with those seeking to provide shelter and hope for their children, who seek peace and possibility in our own community and in lands far away. Holy One, be parent to those children who are without the parents that they need, and those adults who have not been loved as they should. Bring us together as a family during the season of light, as we seek life in you and new beginnings, new hope, that we might always understand your love as ever flowing, your embrace as ever expanding, and that this precious child for whom we yearn and prepare is so much more than a baby in a manger. He is the one who will lead us to life. God, this morning we lift up this morning to you all those who mourn during the holidays, who are missing their loved ones. We remember Robert, and we ask you to console and comfort Michael and Rance, Daniel and Brad and Ruth. Comfort those who are alone or uncertain. This morning be with Natalie and surround her with your strength and love. and bring healing to Carl and Charlie. Bring healing to Leo and strength to all those who carry a burden too hard for one person to bear. Bring healing to the aching heart. Remind us always that we are not alone. You are always with us. Holy One, we have many prayers that linger in our hearts, and we offer them to you now in a moment of silent prayer. Gracious God, for all this and more, your presence and our strength, we are grateful. We offer the prayer that the Prince of Peace taught us to pray in your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
All right, good morning, church family. Dare I say it? Should I say it? Okay, I'm going to say something. I want you to say it back to me really loud. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
There. Look, you're awake. Love that. Hey, let's quickly check in, because this is one thing I always like to forget about. So there's a check-in code. Go ahead and scan that, and you can drop your name in there. And if you have any prayer requests, please add those as well, too. I get those every week, and I share them with the pastoral staff. And while you're doing that, I just want to point out the beautiful roses over here that Michael Abraham is sharing with us in the memory of his beloved Dr. Robert Lambert. So appreciate the memory that you're sharing with us today. Christmas Eve, have you heard it's coming next week? So we have three services on Christmas Sunday. We have 11 a.m., our normal time, which will be a lot of carols and lessons, so basically a lot of singing, so come for that. And then, of course, our Christmas Eve services, which are candlelit, special time. We have a 5 o'clock service for a little bit more of the family side. The children will sing, and then our big 10:30 that ends at midnight with everyone singing Silent Night. So it's a very special time. I hope you can be with all three services with us if you can. Also on Christmas Day, just pointing out, there will not be a church service, but some of us will be here. We are volunteering with Temple Israel of Hollywood. They do a big Christmas dinner. They've been doing it for 36 years here. And so our two congregations are going to get together and serve over 1,000 families and people in need. So if you can be a part of that, there's a lot of opportunities to volunteer over the 3 or 4 days building up to it. So you can scan that QR code. Also at the welcome table is the QR code if you want to fill it out later. But you definitely have to book a time slot to be able to volunteer. So if you want to do that, please do. I will be here. So come join. I think Bridie will be as well. Come join the fun on Christmas Day. Then just real quickly, a little housekeeping. We will have the office closed over the week between Christmas and New Year's, but we will be back bright and early New Year's Eve morning to ring in the New Year with you. So be here for that as well. I just want to thank everyone who has written our Advent devotionals this year. There were only 22, so I had a lot of great writers quickly get them. By the way, I have 45 spaces for Lent, so I'll be contacting all the rest of you. If you want to read those, there's some great, people have shared a lot of great personal things in these stories. So they're on our website. They're also on all of our social media pages. So please enjoy those. Those will be up through Christmas or the end of the year, actually. Any more information that you need, come see me. I'll be in the courtyard right next to the desserts at the welcome table, and I can answer any questions you have. Everything we do here is made possible by you, with your prayers, your presence, your service, and your gifts. So as our ushers come forward and we put up a QR code for online giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you for being here today.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Didn't our children and youth do an amazing job with their pageant last week? If you weren't here or you haven't yet seen it online, I encourage you to do so. You can go to our website anytime and watch the service. There are two things I really appreciated about the script that Kevin McCluskey wrote. First, that every child, every actor, and they all like to be on stage, as you heard Miss April say, every position was one of value. It was one where a child was treasured and allowed to bring out his or her just essence, and that was wonderful. The second thing is that the kids told portions of the story that we don't hear every year, such as the story of Zacharias losing his ability to speak when he didn't believe the news about Elizabeth's pregnancy. Or the story of the Annunciation, where the angel tells Mary she's been chosen to bear the child of God, and will she do it or not? Typically, we pick up on this third Sunday, though, of Advent, with Mary visiting Elizabeth and then singing the Magnificat, as we are today. Mary was a young, poor girl of color who lives in such a tiny village of just about 200 people or so. Luke feels the need to give us geographic directions describing its location. This girl who was barely a teenager, still living with her parents in what would have been considered a favela or an extremely poor neighborhood, was a nobody. Her status in that first century world was truly less than zero. So in this little part of the world called Nazareth, where nothing much happened at all, an angel appeared to Mary with greetings that she has found favored with God. Me? Why am I favored? Mary knows her place and who she is, and that this just should not be happening in the first place. And then Gabriel gives Mary the big news that she's pregnant right now, didn't you know? Even before marriage or before knowing a man. And she was going to have a son, but not just any son, the son of the Most High, from the lineage of David, with a kingdom that would never end. Say what? Quite appropriately and very humanly, Mary asks, how can this be? We know the answer Mary gave to the angel was yes, but she wanted some reassurance that she was making the right decision. So off she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth to seek confirmation. The great theologian Henri Nouwen describes this encounter between Mary and Elizabeth in his book, The Road to Daybreak, writing, "Who could ever understand? Who could ever believe it? Who could ever let it happen? But Mary says, let it happen to me." And she immediately realizes that only Elizabeth will be able to affirm her yes. So on the doorstep of Elizabeth's house, these two women met and shared a most unusual greeting. The baby Elizabeth was carrying leapt in her womb while Mary burst into song. Debbie Thomas writes, Mary finds her own prophetic voice and bursts into a hope-drenched song that soars with promise, not only for the child she carries, but also for the child of Elizabeth, and indeed for all the world's poor, broken-hearted, forgotten, and oppressed. My soul magnifies the Lord, Mary sings, and then her song goes on to do just that, to make more visible and clear, to magnify for the world a God invested in revolutionary and lasting change for creation. Mary describes a reality in which humanity's sinful and unjust status quo is gorgeously reversed. The proud are scattered and the humble are honored. The hungry are fed and the rich are sent empty away. The powerful are brought down and the lowly are lifted up. Mary describes a world reordered and renewed, a world so beautifully characterized by love and justice, only the Christ that she is carrying in her womb can birth it into being. In her song, in spite of her youth, Mary was able to answer the question posed by Billie Eilish's song in the Barbie movie, "What was I made for?" And if you saw SNL last night, you heard Billie Eilish sing this song. Because what was I made for is really the question at the heart of the Barbie movie. And I even have a prop. Thank you, Devin. Think of the film. In Barbie land, every day is perfect. Barbie tells us that today is the best day ever. So was yesterday, and so is tomorrow, and every day from now on forever. Of course, it's a very pink and static place with choreographed dance parties and girls' night every night. But to the Barbies, this is perfection. Women run everything, and the whole of Barbie Land works for the empowerment and fulfillment of the Barbies. By the way, did you notice the color of the third Advent candle? It's pink. It's pink for joy. And that, in a nutshell, describes Barbie Land. Ken is an afterthought. He's really an accessory to the Barbies. Helen Mirren's narrator even says, Barbie has a great day every day. Ken has a great day if Barbie looks at him. Okay, that was really funny, I thought, but... Now, without giving away too many spoilers for those who have not seen the film, and yes, Pastor Bridie will be preaching on it next summer because this is my second bite at the Barbie apple and I'm done. So this is, it's going to be. But through a series of events that cause Barbie and Ken to travel from Barbie land to the real world, Barbie comes to feel a growing discontent about what she has thought all this time that she was made for. She wrestles with the concept of death, of tears, of flat-footedness and cellulite, all the while longing to discover her real purpose. Ultimately, she chooses to leave Barbie Land permanently and become a real human, even though it means living a less than perfect life, a less than perfect existence, one in which she will face the reality of death. But in spite of all that, Barbie decides that she wants the complexities that come with being fully alive. She wants to be part of the people that make meaning, not the thing that is made. But here's what she also discovers as she does that traverse between the real world and Barbie Land, as she faces being put back in the box, literally, by the all-male executives at Mattel. As she encounters the usurping and overtaking of Barbie Land by the Ken Mojo Dojo Casa House and all the Kens, she discovers that any system that dominates others and treats them as different from themselves, as less than, ultimately needs to end and to be replaced with one where all are equal. We've seen that play out in real time this week, sadly, in the state of Texas. Kate Cox, a mother of two, found out at 19 weeks into her third pregnancy that her fetus has a rare genetic disease that is nearly always fatal. Note, this is a child that was deeply wanted and loved. Kate sued the state to allow her to obtain the health care under the exceptions clause. In this case, she needed an abortion to protect her own health and to spare her wanted child any pain. They said no. An appeals court said yes, but the next two courts, ultimately the Supreme Court of the states, refused her request. The attorney general threatened her. Her doctor and the hospitals where her doctor has admitting privileges, including Methodist Hospital of Houston, with criminal charges should she go forth with her need for medical care. Earlier this week, Kate Cox fled the state to another state where she could receive the health care that she needs and that will allow her in the future to grow her family. And in the same week, the U.S. Supreme Court has decided to take on the case that will decide if one of the major pharmaceuticals used for women's health care can continue to be available. Here's the thing, at their heart, these cases are not about the procedure itself. They are about a woman's ability to control her own life and make her own decisions about her body. Because any system that dominates others and treats those different from themselves as less than ultimately needs to end and be replaced with one where all are equal. Whether it's a misogynistic patriarchy or a Barbieland disregard for the kins, or public policies that seek to control and define anyone's body or anyone's ability to love someone that they love, those systems must be ended and replaced with ones that offer equality to all God's people. And that is the message of the Magnificat. Mary describes a world reordered and renewed, a world so beautifully characterized by love and a justice only the Christ she carries in her womb can birth it into being. And we, as Christ followers, are called to continue to work for its values. And the fact that God chose Mary in all her fullness, all her humanness, all her lowliness, and all her unexpectedness is a sign to us that God could choose any one of us to bring light and life and love into this world. The late Dr. Peter Gomes of Harvard once wrote that God comes to us as one of us is one thing, but that God comes to us through the lowly list of us is a whole other thing. Any God can make something good out of the exceptional and the extraordinary, but it is our God who makes something out of nothing, something, who takes nowhere and makes it somewhere, who takes nobody and makes her somebody. That, my friends, is a sign pointing us to the truth of the gospel. God is at work in and through us among this world, and each one of us could be invited at any moment to be a bearer of the divine within it. Like Mary, we become a bearer of the divine when we ask ourselves, what was I made for? As Christ followers, we were each made to love others unconditionally, without exception. We were made to shine a light in the dark corners of our world, bringing forth hope. We were made to seek mercy for all who suffer. We were called to work for justice as advocates for those who have no voice. We were made to model the values of the Magnificat in our daily lives, and we were made to offer hope to the hopeless. Now, how you manifest those values in your life is your choice. But here's what it meant to Greta Gerwig, the co-writer and director of Barbie, who has been quoted as having said that she wanted people watching the movie to feel like she did at Shabbat dinners. Now, Gerwig grew up Christian, not Jewish. But she would also often attend the Shabbat dinners of close family and friends. And one of her friend's dads would tell her, whatever your wins and losses were for the week, whatever you did or didn't do, when you come to this table, your value has nothing to do with that. You are a child of God. I put my hand over you and I bless you as a child of God at this table. And that is your value. So this Christmas, when some of the folks around your table might not be as generous, remember your value as a beloved child of God. Allow your soul to magnify the Lord and all that the Christ child has been born for. Bless others, even though the ones you disagree with, because they too are children of God. If things get rough, or even if they don't, think about the kins and their horses and their choreographed music and smile. Above all, ask yourself, what was I made for? And pray for the ways to live into the answer in the new year. Merry Christmas. Before I offer the benediction, we want to thank the Bellebration Ringers and Debbie Shaw for your wonderful work. To Billy Malpete on piano. To our amazing brass who joined us again this year, we're so glad to have you back. Amazing. Thank you so much. And all of this is only possible because of the incredible work of John West. Thank you. Go forth this day knowing that you are a person of value, that God loves you beyond measure. Go forth in love this Christmas time. Amen.